tell me what a bootstrapping basis is, just to get so everyone understands what that means.
Going from very little to making it work.
Okay. Yes, it doesn't have to be necessarily be very little, but what it means is you're internally financing it to get it going. You are, and that financing can be capital, it can be hard work and sweat equity. Bootstrapping means the founder, the starting person, is through their resources, their ingenuity, their creativity, their talent, their all these things, they are bootstrapping it themselves. They're not out seeking financing from others. They're doing a personal bootstrap. Again, many of the big businesses today were started that way. Bill Gates and his buddy, they pretty well started Microsoft that way, as a couple of young college students. Ed?
Or a mix.
Absolutely. That'll come along, but it just says the best is to have a boot. If you can't start on a bootstrapping basis, you're not taking on debt. You're starting it on your own resources, whatever those resources might be.
And that's attractive to a banker or to a lender?
Anybody. Attractive to both of those, to partners, to investors, to, you bet. It's always attractive. Okay, and certainly an opportunity, an idea, you have to be able to be committed in that for it to become an opportunity. You can't be second-guessing. You have to come to a point where you're committed that your idea is going to work, and then you have to go forward. And you don't want to get into something that has high customer education costs. That's almost impossible. You have to be a big, solid company to be able to educate customers to be able to buy your product. And there are those cases where they have, and the software people, some of them have been able to. But most of the software people really don't either. They make you learn yourself. They have call centers and stuff that will help you. But they make it pretty simple for you to buy. Yes, Matt. I thought you're rubbing your hands. I thought.
Yes,
sorry.
I'm always plotting.
Okay, great. So don't get into something that says, you know, this is a great technology and a great idea. And everybody you talk to about, they say, man, that sounds pretty smart, but it's sure hard to understand. I'd be pretty careful. I'd find a way to have them say, wow, that's great. That makes sense. I see what you're saying. But if you have to sit and explain, and your customers are going to be the same way, that's a hard mountain to climb. You don't want to have to be educating someone to buy your product or service.
Billy
will sell it. You bet. Okay, and certainly something that you can do that'll exceed the competition's offering. That's another word for competitive advantage. And certainly an idea that can be targeted. And then once you've targeted, reach that target. And then is the window open? We had a window. We said, hopefully this is someone's window. I forget, one of the little buildings had a window. That's a big reality. Windows open and close of opportunity. Market conditions are changing. And competitive conditions are changing. Would you want to be trying to open a Hugh... Remember Hugh M. Woods? Does anyone remember them?
Sure. Yeah.
Big, successful company. Where are they at today? Okay. Would you like to try to open a Hugh M. Woods today?
Yeah.
Against Home Depot, Lowe's, those monsters? Well, obviously what happened is Hugh M. Woods had success for, I don't know, 20, 30 years. And then is what happened is competitors closed the window on them and they couldn't adjust and they had to shut down.
Like the little drugstores everywhere. And
yeah, that's happening. Walgreens are going everywhere and they're just shutting down the little family drugstores because the window is not open for them. They can't compete the same way that the competition can. So you want to get into something you can analyze and see some good long-term upside, and so you don't end up getting squashed by some market condition or competitive condition that's going to cause you problems too early in the process. Hopefully a lot of those people that have been changed, they've just changed their lives, liquidated their business. A lot of times, in the example of the little pharmacies, the drugstores that close, the big guys come in and buy them. And they end up having a harvest, not like they would if they were at the top of the market, but they buy them and they get their whole customer list and all of that, and then the people go into retirement typically in that. And it happens all the time with the big grocery chains and the big drug chains. Couple of questions. Over here first, and then come back. Joe, you had, did you have a question? Oh, no, you had your hand up first.
Well, I just wondered, isn't that, it seems like the best thing too is to have a long-range view of things and be able to recognize early enough that we're not just solving. But it also seems that there's a, after a period of time, because what I've been reading is that there's kind of a trend coming back to the small and personalized service, so you have to be able to weather.
Absolutely.
Whether that change.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's definitely marketplace change. Big regional malls, they're not in favor today. It's now the community centers with the drive-up and the convenience of drive-up, whereas that cycle, what there was a, for us, our window started to close, where our model was being in big regional malls with all that traffic. All that traffic was going down because those big centers were opening and the percentage of the people were siphoning off to there. And then the internet came along, and so a percentage of business started going there. So our window started changing and closing on where we had started 25, 30 years ago. Yes?
So how do you recognize the difference between something that's kind of a minor blip that you can adjust on the spot, or something that's a true decay of your base?
Yeah. All the stuff we've been talking about, research, talking to people, talking to customers, talking to competition, and just talking and finding out what's going on and utilizing resources. There's all kinds of business offices like a Better Business Bureau, all kinds of people that can give you indications on things if you go ask them. And you say, what's happening in this sector of the market? Is this becoming a good sector, or are there problems? Tell me about it. A lot of times they'll have information they can give you, or point you to someone who does have it.
Look for industry trade groups. They can also give you
absolutely
a lot of information.
Thank you.
About what's going on in that industry historically and currently.
Excellent. Thank you, Larry. A lot of industry trade groups, and they're free. They want to give you information.
They want to help you get business.
That's right.
What you want to do.
Absolutely. And they can give you lots of research results. Yes, Rob.
With your window changing, instead of going for the harvest, could you just, since you're leasing these, instead of owning them, moved your business into these community centers instead and then gone also with
sure.
an online sales site?
Sure. That's an option. That is an option, but that can be very expensive. But that's an option. And sometimes you might be signed on a long-term lease where you can't leave it. And by the time you can leave it, you've suffered 3 or 4 years of downturn sales while you're waiting for that lease to run out. So that's the solution, but it doesn't always work. And yeah, it's part of being in business. There's a lot of stuff. Key is that you're in step with it and you're working at it all the time. Let's see, was it Kathy?
Well,
yes?
I guess it was just my mind is sort of seeing this gap between, you know, all of us in here would represent, you know, small businesses with, you know, 4 to 20 employees or none or something. But then, you know, most of these business models, like if it was, say, new food, you know, I'm hearing McDonald's.
Sure.
Well, you know, how's this
sure.
person going to,
sure.
or the grocery stores. Or,
sure.
Of course,
right.
you gave the example, you know, from the Rice Krispie thing. But
sure.
it's like, okay, you know, you find something that.
Well, it's easy to talk about the McDonald's and the Bill Gates. But as you can see, the dominant number of businesses in the United States are small. They're not those giants. Though the big ones are decreasing, and the small ones are increasing exponentially comparatively. The growth is in small business, not in those giants. They're having a hard time because there's a lot of costs associated with being as big as they are. So a lot of those people are really struggling. See Matt and then John.
I'm just gonna say, well, I guess it just all depends on what you want your business to be, and if you want to be, you know, one person with
sure.
know, a couple of employees and fill your niche and have your personal service.
Yeah.
McDonald's never touched that. They don't want that.
Right.
And you can
that's
always
it.
Be, you know, make those relationships with people. And if that's what you want yours to be, you know,
yeah, absolutely.
You're still going to have threats and things, but, you know, it's not like you're opening up a huge store
mm-hmm.
and going through all these capital
that's
improvements
right.
just to tomorrow have the window closed.
Absolutely. And we see success stories of neighborhood businesses that do very well. Who's ever heard of something called McGuckin's Hardware? Do they compete against Home Depot?
No.
Well, they sell the same kind of stuff, but they have a much bigger selection. the stuff that you can't even think about finding at Home Depot, you walk into McGuckin's, they'll take you right to it with lots of service. And so, and I'm sure their prices are a little higher, but they're successful. They've been there for, 100 years or something, and they're withstanding all of this. What happened to Hugh M. Woods? They tried to go face to face. They were kind of trying to compete directly with them. They just the new model of Home Depot and Lowe's just overtook the market, and so Hugh M. Woods could not compete.
But if you want an answer to a specific question, you don't go to Home Depot or Lowe's. You go to McGuckin, and they'll tell you exactly what to do and exactly what product to need.
Absolutely.
By and large, the employees of the big boxes have no clue beyond it's $9.95.
Right.
What do I have?
That's right. Training's different. The whole experience is different. Everything's different. Okay, John?
But then there's another side of the story. You can go to all those companies and get all the expertise you want. Then you'll go get it where you can actually buy it at a cheaper price. And I'll use the internet as an example.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people.
You can go to camera stores.
A lot of people do that.
Personally get them in your hands. You can find out everything. But right. Bingo, when the bottom line is, many people will forego and just immediately go on the other side of the fence and buy on the internet. And of course, we know that the internet is so big.
Sure.
I mean, you can get prices.
Sure.
That you can't get in the store.
That's right.
They can't compete.
There's a percentage. Everything's. We're going to go into market forces here, driving forces. I need to move on. I'm going a little slow here. So you definitely.